dear respected Imam Sahib, Muhtaram, spoke in a very beneficial way for us, very beneficial words, and alhamdulillah, in a few words and in a little bit of time, he presented the whole of the sawaf in our service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do amal on his words. I am very happy that I am able to be present amidst all of you. And this masjid, I have not attended this masjid before, but other masajid, sometimes I attend and present myself. So it's a straightforward discussion, my friends, that I have traveled from quite far. And there has to be an objective of the journey. And the reality is that I have not come here to deliver a speech or a lecture, that mashallah, there are great ulama scholars in your masajid and many great scholars attend your masjid. I have just come for one objective, and that's why I'm present in your service. And I'll tell you what is that objective. The reason for my coming is that I have this desire and passion and this intention with which I presented myself, that I've come to you, that I, with some people who I don't know, in this gathering you don't know me and I don't know you, I want to come to you, I want to sit with you, and so that we all together gather together and we remember Allah. This was the reason for me coming, alhamdulillah. And today is a holiday and everyone is busy in their pastime. Nafs and desires lead people to other directions. Many programs and functions, events will be taking place today. But I had a thought. I had a thought that I also should travel, and I haven't descended from the heavens, and I'm also a human being, and I could have thought today's a holiday, let's make some food, let's meet relatives, let's do this and that, and thousands of thoughts could have come to my mind, and thousands of things we could have done different, but this thought came into my heart, that no, let's travel and do the dhikr of Allah amongst others. So what's the reason for this? What was the reason that I have this intention? You could ask this question, the Hazrat, you could have sat at home and done the dhikr of Allah and you would have got the same thawab. And I could have sat in isolation and you could have done dhikr yourself and done maraqabah. So why is it that you said, okay, let's go and travel and I'll sit with some other brothers and I'll sit and do dhikr of Allah? So I'll tell you the reason for this as well. The reason for this was that I had seen and realized the fazilat, the virtues and the thawab with regards to the hereafter in this intention with which I have come. That some people, for example, if you travel for this purpose and a few people gather together, form a gathering, and such people who don't know each other, who are from different generations, different ages, from different tribes, like in the hadith, the words of the hadith are stated, that when those people gather together, form a gathering, a majlis, then suddenly the situation changes and there's a big amount of thawab for that intention, for that purpose. A big amount of thawab. So this, when I saw this, I thought, I need to do this, I need to travel this. Because everything else compared to this, for example, if you know, then all other actions are funny. They're all temporary, but this intention and journey and effort is related to the hereafter. I thought, yeah, let's do this, because this is the best action. There's a lot of reward with regards to the hereafter, with this intention. And then there's a beautiful point that arises here, and Mawlana Sahib has presented that point as well in your service before I spoke, that what's happened today in this generation that we're living in? That, for example, why don't I carry out some other action of the world now? Why don't I please my nafs? Why don't I pass this time, these hours ahead of us in another way? Why did I come so far? That if I come this far just for thawab, that I've traveled this far into your service, there was one reason, my friends, one reason, that my mindset had changed. The framework of my mind, my thought process had changed. And everything that is happening now is due to the mindset. The direction changed due to the mindset. And how did the mindset change? It doesn't change itself. It doesn't change itself. Rather, what occurred is that I also thought that I could have done other things, worldly actions, enjoyment actions. I could have looked towards the world. I could have looked towards dunya, material things, and assigned myself with that. And there was the thawab of the hereafter in comparison to that. And I could, in comparison to that, increase my dunya, my world. But what happened was that pious, good, upright, mutaba'i sunnat, according to the sunnah, according to the sharia, and we call those people the awliya, Allah, who practice their lives according to those criteria. And I got the company of the awliya, just as Hazrat said. So when you get the friendship with the wali of Allah, then the color of that wali of Allah overtook me in such a way that my mindset and the framework of mentality changed. The overall approach to life changed, and all the material things of the world reduced, and a little bit of the hereafter, thawab, wherever it is, we run after that. So Allah Ta'ala gave this permission, and this is a great success indeed, that such a big deceit comes off the lid of the eyes in such a way. It only comes off the lid of the eyes through one reason. That's why I gave you my own example, that obviously there are many kitabs and there are many stories, but a person who experiences something practically in life, he understands better when he explains his own examples and events and experiences. So when a person sits with the wali of Allah, alhamdulillah, then the color and the approach and the fikr of the akhirah comes into that person's life, and the Quran and the hadith, the whole of the Quran and the hadith tells us this, and the sahaba ikram's life tells us this, that dunya is nothing, that this dunya is worse than the carcass of a dead donkey. It's not even worth the value of a mosquito's wing. And for the sake of this dunya, we leave such great thawab. If we see this, that this thawab, this reward to sit in a gathering, like you are sat here, I am sat here, and we're sat in a gathering, and we do the dhikr of Allah. And look at the power, how great is this action of dhikr of Allah. What does Allah Ta'ala give for this action? Think for a moment. The whole dunya, the kingdoms and sultanates and leadership, I swear by Allah, a gathering for a few moments of the dhikr of Allah. The dunya cannot compare. Look, I tell you from the hadith, what is the rule? There are many hadith. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah, has written in Fazail Amal. And you read this kitab, Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Sayyid radiallahu anhu, two great companions, and they are presenting this hadith in a unique way. This example, a very unique hadith that has been narrated here. The first, what did he say? That we testify on this point. Subhanallah, two companions, great companions. And they could have recited the hadith, they could have recited this saying. They say that we testify this point, that we saw and heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this statement. We heard him say this statement. Imagine the emphasis on this point. Imagine the emphasis. So if somebody's thought with regards to the hereafter, will he leave this earning of the hereafter? Will he leave the thawab? The question doesn't arise. So tell me, for example, if my death is about to come in a little while and everything will finish, but this is a very valuable thing of the hereafter that I'm about to attain. That they said, we heard ourselves that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when people gather together, what we call a gathering, a jama'ah, a congregation, a gathering, a collection of people, and after they collect together, gather together, and they do the dhikr of Allah, these two sahabi are narrating this clearly, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that what happens then, that when they do dhikr, that jama'ah, then first and foremost what happens is that Allah ta'ala's muqarrabin angels, which are in the millions, in the trillions, in the billions, they gather around that jama'ah of dhakirin, and they spread the wings and they cover that gathering. Who said this? Rasulullah is the most truthful with the haq. So can these words be wrong? Tell me. Can they? No. The deception of the nafs does not allow us to move. It doesn't let us go to the sohbat of the pious. That Rasulullah's statements are more vivid and clear and truthful than what our bare eyes see. So the angels now, for a fact, we can say this, is that the angels have gathered around us in the skies and heavens. And it's written, the commentary on this, that the angels are a creation of nur, light. They have been created by Allah. They live close to Allah. They are doing the duties directly. They implement the task that Allah has given them. And if the angels gather around and cover the dhakirin, then they protect them from distress and sadness and problems. Imagine what was our hal before this gathering. What was my hal before I came to this gathering? What was your hal before we came to this gathering? Think for a moment. That how much shaitan, difficulty, problems, jinnat, problems, jadu, magic. But Allah Ta'ala's karam and fadl, that as soon as we sat in this gathering, then Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's mercy, without any issues, we have a feeling, that person has a feeling that, oh, I'm traveling far and it's tiring and it's a problem and I have to think about my family and things. But no, we left and I'm running to this gathering, because this is the meaning of the hadith, that I hasten to the gathering, that tomorrow death is in front of me, and shall I leave this gathering? It's full of such food. I've got health, I'm healthy, I have got strength and power, I eat, I drink, I had breakfast, and I'll go home and eat as well. Allah will give me ni'mas, Allah's given me everything, I've got everything. And despite having all of this, what is the shukr for this? That I disregard, and I enjoy life, and I bargain away this great reward for the dunya, and speak at home futile talk, wasteful talk, and I look at for my eyes at the wrong things, use my tongue for wrong things, and my friendship will help me, you know, company will help me. Shall I waste my time? So when I have the yaqeen that my mindset and thoughts have changed, my thing has changed, alhamdulillah, at that time the current, the injection came in my mind that no, let's travel. On every footstep I'll get a reward for the hereafter. So I ran, I hastened, you hastened. So this is the intention. Remember this point, I'm telling you my personal experience, that change your mindset, that where there's dunya, where there's the world, and in comparison to that you get in the akhirah, I swear by Allah, then suddenly disregard the dunya. Drop the dunya. Otherwise what will happen tomorrow? That big regret will come. That what happened there? That I've got breath, a number of breaths. It's not a big treasure that I've got of the world, of the dunya. That for example, you put a battery into the phone, and it's not forever, infinite. You're spending time on the phone, your battery is going down, and the indicator says battery going down, 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 gone. Same way our breaths, we are breathing, and it's saying countdown, 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 countdown. No breath that's been exhaled can be inhaled again. It's gone. Whatever's gone is gone. The second is gone, it's gone. Today you saw the sun, it's gone, it's set, it won't come again. The time is gone, dhuhr is gone, asr is gone, and the salah is gone, and all of the hours that have passed, they've gone. And from that time our life is shortened. Our life is shortened. We've got a deficit in life now. So what we need to see, what did we do at that time? Allahu Akbar, such a valuable moment, the hours, the seconds. And what's the consequence of that time? So remember a great point here. Remember a great point, that if a time comes in life, such an event, an opportunity, pay attention, in which you can either take dunya on one side. Remember, dunya is finite. It will not give you anything. Doesn't matter if you get £10,000 at that time. And here on the other side is salah, adhan, hayya ala salah. Then throw that 10,000, close your shutter of your shop, your business. Don't even imagine that you will attain anything at that time. 10,000, even if you get 100,000 pounds or 1 million pounds, no, run, my Rabb is calling me. Come, come, come. Subhanallah. What your Rabb gives to you, will that be more valuable, or what you will get from the dunya, will that be more valuable? Tell me. Tell me. So we are so weak today. Our thinking is weak. Our mindset is weak. Our approach is weak. What will be the value? Let's say that £10,000 are staying in the dunya, and there's an announcement in the masjid. Come, come, come. Allah is calling you. Allah is inviting you. The muadzin, the call to the prayer. Such a, on the day of judgment, on the day of Hashr, there's such a reward of the muadzin in the hadith. They stated the dunya will see that his neck will be the longest. Why? Because he is inviting to Allah. He is the da'i calling people to Allah. He's calling people to Allah. That Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy is being distributed. And he's not giving you money there. Rather, you're getting wealth in the masjid when you go to the house of Allah. And subhanAllah, you're getting wealth and money in the masjid. Not from the wealth of the dunya. We run around in the world looking for wealth and wealth. Allah says, I'm giving to you now in the masjid wealth. Wealth, wealth. It's time of the morning. Allah's rahmah is descending. And the muadhin is calling out, come people, come. What do? We're sleeping on our beds. We're not interested. What a big contrast between our iman and our lives in the world. Is this a life? Is this the life? Is there anything more than this that we can waste in our breaths and our life? Can there be a greater deficit than this? And when will we wake up? When will we have aql? When will we have understanding? When everything will finish, when we pass away from this world, and all illnesses will come and disease. Allah then makes an interesting person's mind. Oh, if I went to the masjid, if only I could pray, if only I could have done this. I've seen the doctor, I said to this person, and I've seen these events in my life. The doctor gives the answer that after 8 hours, you're going to pass away. You've got 1 or 2 hours left in your life. And I went to the individual, and he was a great person, and he was wealthy and rich. He had warehouses, good person. He was rich, wealthy in the world. Nice person. And I used to give him dawah before that, come to Dhikr Chaudhary Sahib. He said, I'll come, I can't get time, it's Christmas time, I'm busy, and there's occupation and transactions for Ruki Sahib. Look, we'll try. But time had passed, then the time came, he was ill, I went, I said, Assalamu alaikum. And he's crying, Hazrat Sahib. I said, Jee, please tell me. He said, I promise to you, Hazrat Sahib, please do dua for me. You understand? Please do dua for me, Sheikh Sahib. I said, what dua shall I do for you? And he said that, if I can become healthy, I swear by Allah that first and foremost I'll come to your khanqah and I'll sit down and do dhikr. Oh, I said, my friend, you passed the time. I started to cry. And I said, Allah, that I was imagining that I'm lying down there and somebody's telling me that I shook from inside. My body shook from inside. That I started to cry and shiver and shriek when I saw him. That sob. I knew that after some hours, after some time, he's going to cry, the poor soul. And from some years I used to visit him, I used to explain to him that dhikr is a great action. Do dhikr of Allah. And his words were that no power of the world, no material of the world, no wealth of the world do I love. I dislike everything. And if I said to him about factories then and wealth and transactions and transfers, tell me, would he have felt the enjoyment? No. So now, what we need to think is that we are in his place and he's in our place. And I'm sat there, I'm lying down there ill, and he is healthy. Then tell me what the difference will be in the life. So today you sitting here, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is descending, and Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam and mercy is descending, and the reward Allah Ta'ala has given to you now. Listen clearly. What is the first reward? The angels have surrounded you and us. Look at this reward. Can you imagine this reward? That which person in the world, can the kings of the world give you this reward, that the angels will come and surround you, and they are protecting you. They have wrapped you, enshrouded you, they have enveloped you. The protection of the angels, and the protection of the angels and millions and trillions of angels. A beautiful point I'd like to present to you, Darvish. This is the example that those angels that have surrounded you, they are pakke, true marids of yours. They recognize your name, they recognize your generations after you, they recognize your family, they have a link with you, and this link will be useful when on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, you'll be stood and you'll be looking left and right for help. And these millions of angels say, Allah, we bear witness, we testify that this person in this gathering on that day remembered you, did your dhikr, say Subhanallah. So is this a small transaction? Is this a cheap transaction? Is this a cheap bargain? In comparison to this, you could be stood at your shops and your businesses and tell me, if someone was telling you that a fakir is coming and a person's going to come and host the dhikr of Allah, and you say, no, let's go to a New Year event, let's book a holiday, a trip. And you know, many people, they travel on holidays. There's Wahid, One Tabligh Jamaat. Where are their holidays booked? In the masjids, the houses of Allah, Subhanallah. Look at this. Their direction has changed. Their focus changed. One Darvish stood up from India, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. One Wali of Allah stood up who, Subhanallah, and he stuttered when he spoke. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala took from him such work of the deen that the stuttering, the tongue, nothing runs. Allah Ta'ala says, that follows and that runs and progresses, that are what I allow. And if you've got the niyyah and you do the work of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the work of Allah Ta'ala, the deen of Allah will spread across the dunya. And he was a sincere insan. So my brothers, the angels, they will testify and bear witness about your sitting in the gathering. Now you, me, us, we become valuable in these seconds. Those people are earning millions, but our mindset has changed. So we will think that they are jahil. We think that that is a smelly action. It smells and you won't feel like counting the notes and the money. Your son will say, though, if only I could have sat in this gathering, what's the value of this money? What will I do with this wealth? I'm wasting it. I'm losing it. So the second point, the second reward, first reward is the angels will gather around us, envelope us. And nothing great of us said, but we are gathered for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's name. How Allah Ta'ala loves people who sit for the sake of His name, gather together for the sake of His name. The second reward Allah Ta'ala says, my rahmah, mercy, Subhanallah, enshrouds those people. The angels, they gather around the people, they wrap their wings around those people. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I cover that gathering with my rahmah. Tell me, what is the rahmah of Allah? Is there anything in the world that exists without the rahmah, the mercy of Allah? Tell me, is there anything? One piece of creation, form of creation, tell me, that is existing without Allah's rahmah, which is there without the rahmah of Allah. No person can enter into paradise without the rahmah of Allah. Everyone will enter into paradise due to the rahmah of Allah, due to the fadl of Allah. So such a valuable item, Allah Ta'ala has first given us the angels who have surrounded us. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I wrap you and shroud you with my rahmah. And Subhanallah, who's getting this? Me and you, because we have come and sat in the dhikr of Allah. Tell me, my coming, how great it has become, Alhamdulillah. My journey has become so valuable. My time has become so valuable. And your sitting has become so beloved to Allah. That Allah Ta'ala's mercy has enwrapped this gathering, enshrouded this gathering. My coming, your sitting has become so valuable. Every action, inshallah, Subhanallah, will be placed on the mizan that the dunya is commemorating New Year's, and we are also celebrating New Year today. What a beautiful way we are bringing on the New Year. And this is the method, the year to come, I swear by Allah. And we do the dhikr of Allah tonight, and Allah Ta'ala will say that we started the year with the name of Allah in such a blessed way. So we should appreciate. And the second gathering was this, that Allah Ta'ala's mercy enshrouds the people. wraps itself around the people. The third rule. So first the angels surround us and they put the lid on the gathering. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy wraps around us. And the third is Allah Ta'ala is such a reward is that I allow sakina to descend onto the gathering. Sakina. This is a special thing that will be given to the people of Jannah. Sakina. They will experience this. So sakina descends onto our hearts, onto our bodies. Allah, but what a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to us. What a great reward. And when Allah Ta'ala gives reward, He never takes it back from a person. Never does Allah Ta'ala take back reward. Look at, you'll see the color and the effect and the beautiful effects. We don't know if we're going to meet again in our lives, but one meeting definitely will have that. For example, we sat in the masjid, then on the day of Hashr, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah, we will meet due to the blessings of this gathering of dhikr. Doesn't matter if we have a hard time, but we will not meet maybe in this world again, but we will meet due to the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's name. And today I will make a strong friendship with you, such a friendship that will never break, because in the hereafter, all friendships will break, all relationships will break, but such a relationship will be forged today that will never break even on the day of judgment. I want to make strong, proper friendship with you today, because we're only a few people gathered together, alhamdulillah. And the fourth reward, subhanallah. Imagine the extent of this reward of this gathering, the amount of people who are sat here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir and basir, qadir and mutlaq. He is all knowing, all aware. Allah ta'ala loves this gathering, these people who gather together for His name. So much love Allah ta'ala has for them. Allah ta'ala says, in my special gathering, these are the words of the hadith, in my special gathering. And imagine what Allah ta'ala's special gathering is. Allah's glory and His shan. Allah ta'ala says, in my special gathering, in that majlis, with pride, Allah says, openly with pride, I will mention your names, O you people who are sat in the gathering of the Quran. Imagine your name will be mentioned. And then what else is left after that? Nothing is left after that to attain. Alhamdulillah, what a reward. What a great reward Allah Ta'ala is giving to us. So tell me now, such effort we've made on such a small point, what a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given. The reason for this is this, that the amal you're about to do, the action you're about to do, is a great action. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. Allah says, my dhikr is a great action indeed. Allah's dhikr, my friends, is very great. Another hadith that comes to my mind due to the barakah of this gathering, I'd like to present at your service and mention it. That as soon as this gathering ends, alhamdulillah, then from the heavens the angel will announce and call out. What will he announce? Oh people of the dunya, oh people in the gathering, oh people in the majlis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of you. Allah has forgiven all of you, subhanallah. Imagine this. So all of us, forgiveness, bakhshish, forgiveness from Allah will occur. We'll attain forgiveness from Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the final reward, Allah says, not just forgiveness, rather on top of that, your sins that you've committed and that are stuck to your bodies. I speak about myself, because I'm a sinner. And mashallah, you are pious. But me, from head to toe, I am wrapped by sins. And stuck, the sins are stuck to me, all on my body, spiritually, internally. Mashallah, you are pious people, externally, internally. But obviously, we need to have a bath. Doesn't matter how clean a person is, but he has to have a bath. Look, I'm sweating, I need to get rid of the sweat. Okay, mashallah, you are pious and you are clean. But listen to what I'm saying. So how important this is, the second rule, that all the sins that we have entered into this masjid with, the sins that are stuck to our book of deeds, and the angels announce, good news for you. All of the sins that you brought with you to this gathering that you historically implemented, those sins will not leave with you from this gathering, rather they will be removed from your body and spiritually from you before the gathering ends. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is Kabir, Allah is the greatest. Alhamdulillah Kathira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such great fortune and reward and happiness due to this gathering. That our whole, the results and the positivity due to this gathering is there for us to grab. So my brothers, we need to first improve our mindset. We need to compare ourselves to the dunya, the his dunya on one side and his akhirah on the other side. Drop the dunya. What do we grab straight away? Close your eyes and discard the dunya at that time. Totally discard the dunya. There's nothing left in the dunya for me to attain at this time, because I've got the akhirah, the hereafter, in comparison being offered to me. Dunya, if you get all of the dunya, if you leave the akhirah and you're not to the dunya, then there's no barakah. No barakah. Doesn't matter how much quantity of the world you want to make, assets, resources, money. No, we want quality. We need quality. After that, even if we get £5, alhamdulillah, instead of £10,000, then those £5 will be full of barakah. That even if you bring £1 million in comparison to that, you cannot compare. That you'll get the love of Allah from that £5. Yes, but we need to make this thinking, thought process, intention, and we can only do this when we're sat in the company of the Holy Allah. Because where does this mindset initiate? When does this intention initiate? First, we had the people at the time of Rasulullah. I tell you, in the history of man, you will not see people who used to bury their daughters alive, the daughters crying that, "My father, what have I done? What is my sin? What is my mistake?" Can you imagine in this day and age of darkness that somebody takes his daughter and he doesn't want a daughter from his children, and the child is crying and the mother and the father with their own hands are digging the hole and burying the daughter alive? Can you imagine those people who lived at the time of the Prophet? How did they become good human beings? Did they read a book? Did they listen to a speech? The Quran descended after. SubhanAllah. So how did they become corrected and improved? For that, Nabi al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sohbat company came to them. And that once a person at that time who saw the blessed face of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Iman, then he was transformed from a normal human being to the Sahaba, to the normal commands. After that, to the Day of Judgment, they cannot be equivalent to the dust on the horse, on the foot of the horse of the Sahabi. This is their level and their maqam. So if you understand this point we're making, then first we need to change the thought process, our intentions, our hearts, and we need to think that this dunya is wasteful for us. And if we sit in the company of the pious people, good people, then our life will be made, our minds will be improved, our niyas will improve. So for example, I found my sheikh 4,000 miles away from it, but I understood that everything I'm going to attain is from my sheikh, akhirah, the hereafter. That 4,000 miles for me to travel is nothing. It was nothing. It was no sacrifice, subhanallah. And in comparison to that, what did I attain? That I attained an awareness that Allah, this is nothing. The akhirah is the greatest. I got salah, sujood, prostration, subhanallah. What else did I need? And when hayala salah was cool after that, then everything I left for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's cool. How did that awareness come? How did that freshness come into the mind, into the brain, into the heart? Because of the company of the pious person, the wali of Allah. So a person, he doesn't run to Allah Ta'ala's call. Allah's calling. Allah's ordering. And Allah Ta'ala is saying that, "Come to me, come to me." And Allah Ta'ala says, "I will finish off all of your problems." And if subhanAllah, that what do? We still go against Allah Ta'ala. We're in opposition. Even Fir'aun wasn't against Allah Ta'ala's call the way that the Muslim today rejects Allah Ta'ala's call. Allah Ta'ala says, "I call. I invite you." Allah Ta'ala says, "This is haram, for example. Don't listen to this. Don't look at this. Don't go towards this. Don't carry out actions of immodesty." So whose order is this? Allah says that, who's created this world? That Allah Ta'ala says that, "I have created the world for you." And Allah Ta'ala says, if you disobey me, imagine Shaitan didn't reject, rather he put forward an excuse. And Allah Ta'ala said, "I expelled him from my court." And he did 6 million prostrations. 6 million. And he is the teacher of the angels. And he taught them the deen. Then me and you, what are we? And we reject Allah Ta'ala's orders. My friends, we have been given greatness for one reason, that we are linked to the Ummah of Rasulullah. And we've left his deen. We are in the shade of darkness. How long will we live in this darkness? And then the death will come, the akhirah will come. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not giving a speech, a lecture. Rather, I'm presenting the reality, the hal that is I've experienced in my life. I feel that every man has this same awareness and fikr and concern like I gained through the company of my teacher. Because we should not run after the artificial dunya. For example, a person will go into Jannah, into paradise. And do you know that, let's hear about an event of Jannah, subhanAllah. That the person will go into Jannah, the person who will have Iman, inshallah, with the fadl wa Allah, because Jannah, Allah has made Jannah. We are hopeful that we'll go to Jannah. So then people will be entered into Jannah, and we'll go into Jannah. Jannah, subhanAllah, you look at Surah Waqiyah, Surah Ar-Rahman, and such great chapters of the Quran. Allah says that, leave the dunya. Can you imagine the praise of Jannah, paradise? Allah says, you cannot even imagine. And this is artificial name, apple and the apples of the hereafter paradise, they're different. And the women, the maidens of Jannah are different. These women are different, those palaces are different, these palaces are different. This water is different in the world, and that water is different in the hereafter. It's just the name Allah has given, so we can imagine. Allah says, your imagination, thoughts cannot even reach the what will be those apples of paradise, those women of paradise, the palaces of paradise. What will that be? SubhanAllah. Imagine this. Imagine this. So can a person regret in paradise? When all the great rewards of paradise will be given to him. Can we regret anything in paradise? Can you imagine? Will there be any desire left? Any hope left? No, no salah, no fasting, no hajj, no zakat, no orders, nothing. And those people, that, for example, I say jokingly that when they go into paradise, the person will say, is it salah time? They say, salah time? There's no salah time. Why are you looking at the time? He says, no, it's the time, salah time, I'll be late for salah. I'm used to going to jama'ah congregation, subhanAllah. So the angels will call him down that, brother, there's no salah here, no masjid to go to here. Eat, drink, be merry. You say, is it? You say to that person, oh, they're going to make my salah late. I want to pray salah. SubhanAllah. And what a habit of a person becomes. And slowly, then the breaks will come on and enjoyment will come. And you'll say, I need to run to salah, prostration. Where's the adhan? Where's the masjid, the prayer, man? And they'll say, there's no masjid, then there's no jami masjid to go to pray to. We'll be told this. So a person becomes so habitual in salah that he'll ask about salah and thereafter. So may Allah Ta'ala make us such people who pray salah in such a way. Ameen. So brothers, what were we discussing? As a Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, listen carefully. The reason for me coming is based on this hadith. This hadith that I'm just about to discuss, that for example coming here, that this majlis is this, and listen to this hadith with attention, focus and detail, and pay attention. This is the real objective of me being with you today. This is the objective, and this is what we need to do. What I desire is that I've come with this message, that anyone here, all of you, the last person to go into Jannah, the brothers here and even our sisters who are listening, then my brothers, today I would like to say to you this point, that going into Jannah, we should not regret after we enter into Jannah. We should not regret anything after entering into Jannah, but we will regret. And this is the message that I've come to give to you. That, for example, how can it be? What's the point? A person goes to paradise and then he regrets. Hey, okay, fair enough. Oh, if only had this mansion or this palace. Oh, look, he's made this many houses. If only had this car. Oh, 4 days. He's only been here for a few days. He's got warehouses and money. Oh, he's got 2 cars. I haven't even got 1 car. He went to Pakistan. You get to us. Oh, look here, mashallah, that he's made houses and I went there. I've got nothing. I could not save anything. I'm not rich. And this is regret of the world. But when this regret comes in hereafter, look, mashallah, he's got reward. He's got a high palace and we used to pray salah together in congregation. How can it be that he's got a great mansion? This should not occur in the hereafter. We should not regret in the hereafter. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, what did he say about this? With regards to this, that in the hadith he stated a beautiful point, unique point. لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ SubhanAllah. A jeeb point. That in Jannah, after a Jannati will go into paradise, the Jannati, the inhabitants of paradise will regret something. They will regret. They will lament. They will think. Why? Why not? And I desire that today you, me, we get this message. I've come to deliver this message. That we become those human beings that tomorrow we don't have any regret in paradise. Do you want to be in that type of person? If you want to be, then raise your hands. I have come here to take a commitment. Yes? Okay, mashallah. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point if we pray salah, make effort, and we go to the hereafter and we regret? That this is hadith. There will be people, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith. Yes? That those people, the Ahlul Jannah, they should not regret. And if they're going to Jannah and they regret and have regrets for not attaining what they need to say. So I'll tell you such a solution, my friends. Such an action. That if you want to take that solution from me today, right now, I give you a guarantee from this hadith that you will never regret anything in hereafter in paradise. Rather, you will get more enjoyment. More enjoyment. So shall I tell you the solution? Will you accept it, inshallah? So that my effort does not go to waste. So this is the objective of me coming. This hadith, subhanAllah. That at least we should get some benefit, my friends. We're sat together, we're spending time. That the people of Bradford, they're benefiting, I come from so far, and I shouldn't return empty-handed. I should give something, isn't it? We should receive something from this gathering. So let's continue on this hadith, the path of this hadith. So first, it is stated that the Ahlul Jannah, they will regret once they enter into paradise. What will they regret? Who will they see and what will they regret in paradise? SubhanAllah. What is it? What's the reason that? For what reason will they regret? Illa sa'ata, sa'ata, illa sa'ata. One moment in this world that they pass. One moment, illa sa'ata. One moment, 1 second that we will have passed in this world in our life. In which way? Allahu Akbar. Lam yathkurullah. That they did not do the dhikr of Allah in those moments. They will regret those seconds and minutes. So this is the treasure of Jannah. This is the treasure of Jannah. What is the standard of paradise? Have you seen now and heard of muttaqis, people pray salah, hajjis, people leave the sins, who go on umrah. Everyone will regret. Oh, alims, oh, muhaddithin, everyone will regret. What is the standard Allah Ta'ala has set for giving paradise? That standard of Allah, that your life in this world should pass in such a way that not 1 second of your life, not one breath, not one sa'ah should pass in which we do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah. Tell me now, any person, how can I meet this standard? How can I implement this standard? This is the standard of paradise. Every man will regret. From the greatest muhaddith, he'll regret. The mufassir of the Quran will regret. The alim will regret. Even that person will regret who did the dhikr of Allah. Even he will regret. Even he will regret. Because Allah has made such a great standard that not a moment, not a second, not a breath in your life should pass in which Allah says that you do not recite my name from your body. Your wujud, your body was created for the sake of Allah. And how can you dare that for a second in your life it was empty, devoid of the remembrance of Allah? Ha, ha. This is the relationship between me and you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friends. And this is it. We know how to eat chickens. We know how to eat partridge, quail and meat. We know where to buy halal meat and haram. We know where it is. But we don't know about the rules of the hereafter. Can we pass that time in the hereafter where we regret the seconds we left in the world? We pass in the world without doing dhikr Allah. This is the reason that that person who will have said Allah once, when he sees the reward in the hereafter in Jannah, when that person will reach there, arrive there, then they will say, oh, they will knock their hands on their heads. They will regret, they will hit themselves. I wasted time, such a reward for saying Allah once in the world. And I wasted my time, such a rank, such a reward, a level. Allah gave me hands and a brain and a nose and eyes. Did I not understand? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ Did I not understand the hadith, the Quranic verses? No standard did I understand. What a great point. What a great message. And what's the point of regretting in the hereafter? So the meaning of this hadith is this. This hadith is awakening us to wake up now and do those actions so that you do not regret in the hereafter the seconds you wasted in the world without mentioning the name of Allah. So the reason for me to communicate this hadith is not this, aha, subhanAllah, and you hear the hadith and leave. So how will you leave from the door? If I don't give you the solution of how to practice on the hadith, then no one can leave the doors of this masjid. I won't let anyone to leave. Try and leave this message if you can without the solution to this hadith. Don't think that, for example, everyone knows, everyone's got power and energy, mashallah. But can any young man leave? I'll tell you, come on, let's have a tussle with each other. See if you can leave the door. If I don't deliver you to the solution of this hadith, I won't let you leave from this masjid. That if I don't let you do amal from this of this hadith, I won't let you leave this masjid. I didn't come here to give speeches or lectures, I've come to make you pleased. I've come here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with you and me, that's what I've come for. Is it fine? So it's a good promise? Okay, so then listen. So listen. So my brothers, what a great standard that Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hakams, the orders Allah Ta'ala has established in the Quran, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah says that, why do you run away from me? Why are you afraid? I've not made no deed, no action, which is hard for you, which is a burden for you, Allah Ta'ala says, which is beyond your powers and energy. So I tell you the reality, and this is a drama, a big drama that's acted out in the world. You see a murid, I can't do this, it's too hard for me. This is a drama, there's no difficulty. When a person, for example, goes beyond the boundary of difficulty, for example, you go to the doctor's surgery, personal experience, when a person has pain, difficulty, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, that is beyond his ability to persevere and bear it, then he cannot stay alive in this world. As long as that, if that pain hasn't come, which gives a person death, then he's speaking nonsense, that I can't bear this anymore, he can. For example, the announcement comes that don't leave salah as long as you are aware and awake. Don't leave salah. So that pain in your stomach, it shouldn't let you leave salah. It's a loss of you. You can pray salah. No pain is such a pain in the world due to which you should forget Allah or leave the salah of Allah. Otherwise, Allah Kabir would say that you can leave salah in this state. Allah would give that condition. Do you understand my point? Yes. So never leave salah due to pain. It's a drama. Yes, there is flexibility. Oh, I've lost this, I've lost that, I can't pray, etc. No problem is a problem too much. Become the true servant of Allah to human being. Persevere through the pain. Have courage. If you're a human being, remember Allah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for help. Ask Allah Ta'ala for assistance. SubhanAllah. So yes, we accept there is pain and problem in the hand, in the body. Person does experience problems, but it's not that extreme limit of pain that we cannot persevere. Allah Ta'ala says, I've created you, I will give you pain, I will give you problems and issues, but I'll give you such pain that you'll be able to persevere, bear through. I'll give you thawab for continuing to remember me through those hard times. But for example, when pain comes, difficulty comes, you'll get the reward in the hereafter, won't you? For persevering. So that human being, even if he has a headache, Allah Ta'ala says, I give headaches and problems to those who are my beloved. Allah says they have migraines all the time. headaches all the time. What can I say to you that with what illnesses I've come? I've got illnesses and I'm still sat in your service. I found out my doctor, this man, has got an illness. He'll say, just wait a minute, let me print out the list of his illnesses and the tablets that he consumes. Shall I tell you? Shall I tell you? No. Have I told you this? Do I look ill? No, because I recite the name of Allah. Forget the illnesses and the problems. Let's take our bedding and go wherever we have to go and do the dhikr of Allah. I've told you the reward. Subhanallah, I'll come again next Sunday, inshallah, to some other masjid. Yes, so there's a lottery here, mashallah. There's a sale that's going on, alhamdulillah. Why? Because I just move my hands and my feet. I don't look that, oh, how old I am. I'm young. I'm lucky, young person. That's all nonsense. Date of birth, I've put it away. I don't look. If someone asks me, how old are you? I say, I'm not old. I'm young. How young are you? Subhanallah. There's no problem here. There's no issue here. That if you want to test me out, test me. So when I'm old, at that time I will consider myself old. When Allah Ta'ala will call me back, that's when I'm old. That's the end of life. That's the last day. Before Allah Ta'ala has kept me with my body and my mind, I can walk, talk, and move my hands and my feet. Everything's fine. Then that's it. Don't worry, because I want to earn the akhirah and I want to earn the highest grade in the akhirah. And if I sit down, do tahajjud and Quran and tasbih, would I get this? If I'm not living, so many people have been corrected. So many people, and mashallah, am I coming and going this thawab? Would I get this? If I wasn't there, if I didn't have the energy and the power, Allah Ta'ala has given me the energy and power. Now I've come here with the will of Allah, and I'll return with the will of Allah, with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, with the mercy of Allah. Make your life like this. Don't just sit there, oh, I'm burping, I'm old, I pray 3-4 salahs, go home and sit down, drink lassi glass and eating. Move your bodies. That make a friendship with such a person. Go around, move with that person. Learn how to live your life. Subhanallah. We haven't come here to enjoy. We haven't come here to just waste our time in the dunya, glitter, glow, luxury, enjoyment. Just sit down and we break our beds and our mattresses, sit out on the chair so much we wear the chairs and we break the legs of the chair. No one's old. Stand, move, do work of the deen. Even in the old age, you can do so much work of the deen in the old age. Never forget this point. Never consider yourself useless. So my brothers, now I'll tell you the solution that will not let us regret in the hereafter. What is the tariqah, the method? So we can eliminate the chance of regretting in the hereafter. You ask people, how much dhikr do you do? 10,000? Still regret will be there. 1 million? You'll still regret. How much dhikr do you do? Hazrat Thanvi, his khalifa, he was a great sheikh, a great ashik and lover of Hazrat Thanvi. And I think he was such a great ashik that all the other students were so envious of the love that this sheikh had with Hazrat Thanvi. All day, night, so many events were written about him. Ashik and lover. And he was a collector, a tax collector in India. He was a khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi. He was busy. In the what was his dhikr? 40,000 times he'd recite the name of Ismi Zat Allah Ta'ala in the day. Have you heard this, Mawlana? 40,000. Tell me. So why don't you do 10,000? But they will regret. People will regret. So if we don't do dhikr on that standard, that with every breath of our life, every moment, how can we do dhikr? Well, I'll explain to you. This is about moments. Illa sa'ata. One moment should not pass in which we don't remember Allah. So how do we attain this? How do we pass this? My brothers, the day, you know, our heart is very valuable indeed. Yes. That when the hands fail, we have not come here. We haven't come, for example, we have to do a scan. Oh, the heart, is it beating or beating? The heart is so great as an organ that Allah has made. We need to understand the reality of the function and the objective of the heart. Allah has made this as a machine. It's a manufacturing unit. And the heart is the most special and best organ in the body. Everyone has this organ. A point comes to my mind. I'll give you an example. That there was a very great psychologist. And he was a doctor of the brain. And I'll explain to you a point here so you understand what I'm saying. So, what occurred was that Allah has given a standard that no moment in your life should pass without Allah's remembrance. Allah, how can I do 10,000? They said, forget the tasbihs. Forget the rosary beads and the counting meter. To go into Jannah without regret, there's a different standard. So how do we do dhikr? He stated to do dhikr from your heart. How should we do dhikr? From the heart. Yes, that your heart should be remembering Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala has given you your body, your heart, has given you the heart for this reason. Allah says, so that you remember your Rabb from the heart. And when your heart starts to say, Allah, 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 you, alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala julum. Tell me, can there be any human being in the world who can do dhikr of Allah while he's sleeping? Do you have a tasbih next to you? Allah says, do my dhikr when you're sleeping. Tell me, when me and you speak, can we do dhikr while we're speaking? That can, when you're sleeping, can you do dhikr? When you're eating, can you do dhikr? Such walis of Allah have passed that they left eating. They used to put something in their mouth and chew it to the left side or one side because they didn't want to stop doing dhikr of Allah. Because the heart needs to do dhikr of Allah. The heart needs to be alive to the dhikr of Allah. Then insan, human being, reaches to that standard and level where he will not regret in the hereafter every second if your heart is beating Allah, 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 Allah. Subhanallah. And this is called making the heart alive to the dhikr of Allah. So will we do this dhikr? Will you learn this dhikr? Because this dhikr is performed when you learn this dhikr. You have to be taught this dhikr. I will today teach you this dhikr. You need to promise that you will implement this dhikr. Do you promise? Inshallah. Very easy. As I said to you, that the more valuable things, assets, resources Allah has given, the easier it is to consume that. For example, breath is very valuable. Is it expensive? No, you can breathe. Allah has given it freely. Rain is so valuable. Allah has allowed rain to drop from the heavens and we have to use an umbrella to stave off the wetness. Allah says the more valuable and precious commodities in the world are free of charge. So is there anything that you think more greater than the dhikr of Allah? It's the greatest action and it's the easiest action, because the greatest things, the most valuable things are easiest to attain. But we don't understand this. We don't want to attain this. And we run after the dunya, which is the hardest thing to attain. So brothers, the dhikr of Allah, learn it. Those who want to learn, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I will teach you right now. But very valuable dhikr. This is very precious from the centuries, from the Naqshbandi teachers, from the Naqshbandi order. This dhikr has been taught through the hearts, through the company of the sheikhs. My teacher also taught me this dhikr. And those who want to learn this dhikr, I'll teach this to you. I'll teach you this dhikr. So, the tariqah, the method of doing dhikr, I'll explain to you. But before we do this dhikr, we have to do an action. Before that, there's one thing we have to do. We start the initiation, a new life, a new lease of life is coming. I tell you this. From today, a new life starts for all of us. The older life ceases, the old accounts finish, and your sheets will be wiped clean, and there will be no hisab kitab right now for anyone. Listen to my points. Listen to my words right now. Totally clean. Totally clean. First you will be clean, then after you get cleaned, your heart will become alive, and you will leave this gathering, and you will leave departing. Allah, 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 Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives, and it's for us to look after the gifts. Allah Ta'ala has brought us here, and Allah has invited us here. And I tell you that how will we pass away? Ask a deceased person that how he's passed away, how the ruh is extracted, how the angel of death comes, what is the hal at the time of death. And this time is so valuable that we're alive. That imagine if we clean our record books from the sins, then the angels will come in a nice way, modest way. They'll invite us in a beautiful way, extract our ruh so easily and invite us to paradise. This will happen. So we need to have yaqeen on these words. These are the words of the Quran and the hadith. I'm telling you, Mawlana Sahib is a witness. Ask him, I'm telling you. He'll tell you the hadith after this, the references. So have yaqeen. Most definitely our certainty is so weak that our heart does not accept these points. That how can my sins be forgiven? No. This is not the case. Totally our sins will evaporate. And if we want to keep this, establish this, that we don't sin after today, this is easy. And then we can say we have attained something from this gathering. If we want to live a simple life until Qiyamah, till Maud, then today Allah Ta'ala has made us capable. Every man can leave this gathering as a wali of Allah, guaranteed. I say this on the Day of Judgment, I'll tell you this. That if today we look after this wilayat, if today we accept and embrace this gift of Allah and we look after it, then until the Day of Judgment this gift will travel with us. If we spoil this valuable thing, then we will regret here and during death and thereafter be a very valuable, precious time. And how will this evaporate? That there was a sinful person in hadith, it was stated, he came and he said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am finished, I'm destroyed. And Rasulullah said, why? So many sins I've committed, so many sins. What shall I do? So many sins. And Rasulullah said, how many sins? Rasulullah said, have you got the amount of sins that the sea will be filled with your sins and the gap between the heavens and the earth will be filled? He said, ya Rasulullah, I'm so sinful. And Rasulullah said, come. And Rasulullah said, say astaghfirullah. He recited astaghfirullah. Rasulullah said astaghfirullah again. And again astaghfirullah. He recited Rasulullah. Go. Your life is now clean. And this is the kamal of Allah's mercy. Subhanallah. How it wipes a person clean. And then mashallah, he departed with happiness. And he was a sahabi. Companion. So this is not hard, is it? Why do we look at sins? Let's look at Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Let's look at our amal after today. Don't do those deeds that Allah has told us to refrain from. totally. Will you feel like doing this? But you'll remember my words that we'll become walis of Allah if we make the right intention, do the right actions. No, we have to go against those actions that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. So if we control our nafs, desires will leave with a lot of things. But after that, for example, saying we commit the sins and the singing and the futile actions, then we've wasted this opportunity. So it's your choice, my choice. I, my friends, take you to that destination. So first thing, what do we need to do? First thing, in this majlis, I am the worst and the most sinful in this gathering. I will do this action. You are pious, but you should also do this action. And for me, it will be forgiveness and your rank will be elevated. So first, in the court of Allah, we will do tawbah. Collective tawbah. Collective tawbah. Will we do this, my brothers? Those who want to do this, put your hands up so I know who wants to do this. Subhanallah. So first, we will do tawbah. After tawbah, our record books will be wiped clean from the sins. Then I will explain to you the method of dhikr al-qalbi, dhikr of the heart. And I will give you ijazah, permission to do that. Then bring that into your lives. How the method is to do the dhikr of the heart. Very easy and simple. Very easy, mashallah. And for that, there's no condition, no problem. None of your jobs or business or career will cease. Nothing will stop. Just the machine of the heart will start to tick. And you have to just do that. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That machine, that manufacturing unit that was within, that was wasting its time, will start to say Allah, 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 Allah. Okay, my brothers, should we start then? Okay, for that purpose that I've come, should we start that purpose? Okay, let's start. So first and foremost, what do we need to do? Tawbah, repent. So make niyyah in your hearts, Allah, whatever I've done today, before today's sins, you are merciful. I promise to you that please forgive my sins, Allah. I want to repent to you and I will try to implement my tawbah. Do you all repent to Allah, my friends? Don't worry that tomorrow I'll become sinful again. Don't worry about shaitan's deception. Allah Ta'ala promises. Allah Ta'ala says, I forgive you today. Then tomorrow again, if you repent, I'll wipe again your book of deeds again. So today, let's leave this gathering pure and clean. Okay, so let's recite. I'll recite the kalamats and you repeat after me.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadun abduhu wa rasuluhu. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh amin.
MashaAllah, that's it. That's all there is to it, to do tawbah. Just a few words and Allah's forgiven everyone. MashaAllah, subhanAllah. End of story. That's it. That's all there is to Allah's rahmah and mercy. So easy and simple. Forget your sins, Allah says now. Forget your past life. Go towards the good life now. Allah says to the angels now, bear witness. Tell the earth to forget the sins he committed. Tell those places to forget this person's sins. Tell those human beings who saw his sins to forget his sins. But not just one sin, Allah says. Remember this. No. Allah Ta'ala says, no. No. The sins of other people's rights. If you've consumed someone's money, somebody's mal, you've committed excess, then go and ask that person for forgiveness. End of story. Ask forgiveness. If you committed excesses, sister, brother, uncle, auntie, and nephews, nieces, Allah says, they won't just forgive you. You have to go and ask them forgiveness. And your sins that are between you and me, Allah says, I've forgiven those. But those sins you committed excesses against human beings, go and ask for the forgiveness. So, dhulam you've done, if you've taken from someone, say, please forgive me, your wife, children, relatives, other people, please forgive me. And you've asked for forgiveness, that's it, end of story. Allah will say, fine, you ask them for forgiveness, and inshallah, I will forgive you. For example, if you can't approach somebody, it's hard for you, then the solution for that is do istighfar for that person, give sadqa for that person. For that person, recite a dua that Allah, I had to give this debt, I cannot find that person, I had to give him money, or I took from that person, Allah, please send my thawab for this person, my tasbih thawab for that person, my ibadah thawab for that person, I will compensate for that mistake, for that loss. So now the qalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart. Now qalbi dhikr is, my friends, is dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, a heart, which is on the left side of the body. And it's a little bit below the breast. And so pay attention, you have a heart. And this heart, what we need to do, we need to utilize our heart in a good way. A very simple method, close your eyes. And after closing your eyes totally, you just sit down with ease. Focus on your heart, pay attention to your heart. Don't move your tongue. Totally ignore, don't say anything, no volume, and pay attention to your heart. And inside the heart, within the depth of the heart, slowly, silently, with every beat of the heart, Allah, Allah, Allah. Not from your tongue, from the tongue of the heart. Inshallah, when you start practicing this morning and evening, this is called maraqaba, dhikr of the heart, dhikr al-qalbi. The thawab of this is so much, subhanallah, subhanallah. That one sa'ah, one moment, if a person does the dhikr of the heart, one sa'ah, do you understand? One moment. Silent dhikr is greater than 70 years of ibadah. In Fazail Amal, this hadith has been narrated. 70 years of ibadah, worship, one sa'ah, silent dhikr in the heart. This is how great is this dhikr. So fix a portion, some time for this. After Fajr, sit down, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Sit down, close your eyes. This is called maraqaba. Pay attention to your heart. Think in your heart, Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. Focus on the heart. Silent dhikr in the heart. Your heart will start to beat to the name of Allah. Insha'Allah. That's it. That's all you have to do. And this is called maraqaba dhikr. End of story. Alhamdulillah. Morning and evening, do this dhikr of the heart. Walking, talking, moving. Every time, focus on your heart like your heart is saying, Allah, 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 Allah. 1 minute, don't distract your... Make your maraqaba so strong, so solid this time, that your mind and your heart, the focus of your heart should not leave the dhikr of Allah. Every moment, your heart should be saying, Allah, Allah. You sat down, your heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. You, after some time, after some days, you'll practice this and your heart automatically will start to recite the name of Allah, and you'll start to feel that your heart is saying Allah, Allah within. And the more you make effort on this, the more quicker your heart will give you the response. And there, I've brought you to this point now. Beyond this discussion, the noon, the maqamat, the levels, alhamdulillah, for this, you have my website. And take the address from this colleague and just send me a message. And whatever questions you ask me, straight away I'll guide you, I'll respond to you, inshallah, as soon as possible. Whatever issues you present now here, listen to one thing now here. That when a person does dhikr of Allah, shaitan, the death of shaitan is from the dhikr of Allah. Shaitan doesn't get destroyed from any action apart, instead from the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah is the action that destroys shaitan. So when you sit down and close your eyes and do dhikr of Allah, shaitan will inject waswasa in your ears, or your shop, your wife, arguments, problems. You say, oh, you're doing dhikr, you're wasting time, you think about dunya, you're mad, you're wasting your time. Where are you stuck now? Look, I'm speaking to you, and the man, he leaves dhikr, oh, my dhikr is no good, there's no good quality, he leaves dhikr. Never do this, never. Shaitan is playing tricks and games with you. Shaitan has no link with the heart. And he, if he tries his best to make you leave dhikr, then I'll tell you the solution. When waswasa, whispering thoughts, evil inclinations come, then you keep on doing dhikr of Allah. Whatever thoughts come to you, you're feeling sleepy, you don't feel good, keep on doing Allah, Allah, Allah. 101% you will get the thawab of doing dhikr of Allah and the effect of doing dhikr of Allah. Rather, you'll get more reward because you're making effort and warding off shaitan. I'll give you an example of this, that you're eating food. When you eat, don't you think of other things? Food will come now, chicken, biryani will come, you'll eat. And that, will you eat because you're thinking of other things? Will you leave the good food? You won't. Nobody leaves good food because the food's going into your mouth and enjoyment and taste. In the same way, my brothers, when you're doing dhikr of Allah in the heart, when Allah's name is being recited, then the effect is coming into you. The benefit is coming to you. You're attaining the benefit. So don't leave it. Don't leave that action. So slowly, 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 the deficiencies, the negativities and shaitan's effect will leave you. So don't reject, don't leave, don't discard. Don't discard. Close your eyes. I give you all ijazah to do this dhikr, to do the dhikr according to the silsila. MashaAllah, you've done tawbah, you've repented, and MashaAllah, you've all entered into the Naqshbandi silsila with the fadl of Allah. Spiritually, now your body, your ruh, everything is attributed and linked to the Naqshbandi silsila with the fadl of Allah. You sat at home, you've attained this. Sitting at home, now you have a link with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, you are in his silsila. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. I have given you that, for example, the pious predecessors has made such great effort. 40 years they traveled, and they, for example, they had to discard the time and they had to make effort, and then they got this name of Allah. And you are so fortunate today in your homes, in your locality in Bradford, in a warm masjid. Allah Ta'ala sat you down and given you his name. So this is your destiny. You have good destiny. And we cannot complain about this. We should be grateful for this. So be grateful for this. Yes. So this is the fadl of Allah, the mercy of Allah. You've learned this. Inshallah, you'll do amal on this. The more effort you make on this, then there are great fazail and virtues. And we don't have time now. But with time, I'll explain the fazail of this. Now for some time, we'll sit and do the dhikr of Allah. And then you'll understand with time all of this. Are you all ready for the dhikr of Allah? Okay. Let's begin. Recite Durood Sharif.